Toast.
Toast.
Right here. Right now. Most important thing in life will always be the
Movie Squad.
Salute me, familia.
Welcome to the Movie Squad podcast. My name is Tristan Fidler.
And my name is Simon Morato.
And this is the official RTRFM podcast where we share our weekly edition of Movie Chat as heard on Breakfast with Taylor every Friday morning, 7:30 a.m. on RTRFM 92.1. Though this week we were joined by the great guest host, Terry Campbell, and soon discovered her own fondness for horror and for fan footage, a genre which is relevant to one of the films that we were looking at. And this, episode is about horror films. It's in the lead up to Halloween when we're recording this, so it's spooky movie season.
I love spooky movie season, and we've definitely covered a lot of horror movies over the last couple of weeks, but we're really getting stuck into the grisly stuff today. So if you're not a fan of hardcore gore, you may not dig these movies in particular, but I think... Well, what is your appetite for a bit of gore?
Well, I understand, you know, horror is a very divisive genre. It's not for everyone, but I do enjoy it. I think it took time for me to really get into it. And I'm not a fan of every type of horror film. There's some things where it's like, it's just too much, too cruel or too grim. But, you know, as long as there's sometimes a sense of humor, some fun to it, you know, I can enjoy the grisly stuff as, you know, if it's, you know, on the level of maybe, you know, the Evil Dead or the Evil Dead 2, you know, sure, that kind of thing. But we're talking big screen and small screen this week with the one that we saw both films, but I start things off by looking at the new cinematic horror film from James Wan, director of Saw and Insidious and The Conjuring, with the film Malignant.
Yes, and then I take a look at VHS 94, the latest installment in the VHS anthology horror saga, and that's a Shudder original, so only available on streaming, but hey, it's up to you whether you want to brave the cinemas during Halloween or whether you want to curl up under a blanket for something that is maybe gonna seep into your nightmares that evening.
I'm having visions.
Of Dr. Florence Weaver was found brutally murdered in her home this morning.
Did you know her?
No, but I saw her die.
I'm seeing things. I'm seeing murders.
Friday morning, and it can only mean one thing. Tristan and Simon, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice
good morning.
To be reunited.
Back in the fold, part of the Movie Squad collective.
Yes. Oh, love that. Love that. How's it going? We're getting spooky this morning. I'm really excited. It's like you did it on purpose for my little dark Scorpio soul.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, we've been wading into the spooky waters. You know, the first week of October, we covered a couple of horror films.
Amazing.
Well, types of horror films. But yeah, we're really getting close to that spookiest of days, Tristan.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just a great excuse to watch some spooky movies, horror movies. you know, a genre that I was always petrified as a kid, but fascinated by.
Amazing.
And, you know, it's now a piece of escapism as opposed to the horrors of the actual world.
So yes, it's, exactly.
We got... big screen and small screen, streaming and cinematic. We've got it all this morning. So
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Let's start with Malignant.
Yes. So this is big screen in that it's here in cinemas in WA. And it's a new film from James Wan, a director who might be probably one of the more successful Australian directors working in Hollywood and big studio films, and started his career co-writing a screenplay with Lee Winnell, and they made Saw, which was his first film, and was a film that I thought was okay when I saw it, but it's undeniable. It created an iconic franchise and an iconic, you know, horror villain. And then they went from there to, you know, the Insidious, to the Conjuring universe,
yes,
which is it's called now. And I was a fan of the first Conjuring. I haven't seen all of the little, you know, side characters, Annabelles and the nuns and whatnot. But and then, you know, he's also done big budget action movies like Furious 7 and Aquaman. So I don't know, Simon, are you a James Wan fan? Are you a Wan head?
I'm a Wan head. I really like him. And, you know, the best thing about James Wan is, like, he is just an ideas machine. Mm. You know, and similar, like, I like Saw. I didn't love it. I think the sequels are all pretty terrible. But they're sort of ingenious, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't like them as films, but I can go like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, interesting. Didn't like Insidious. I think the first two Conjuring films are really good. They're the only ones I've seen, but they're kind of old school thrills as opposed to the more, and I think you'll get into this in your description of Malignant, the new metal sort of horror of Insidious. But yeah, look, he's obviously a very capable filmmaker, but horror seems to be where his passions lie because he's returning to Malignant after making two of the biggest films ever, effectively.
Yeah, it's kind of an example of a director going, well, I'm just going to cash my chips in and make something that I want to make. Because this, I mean, Annabelle Wallace is the lead actor, but she's not, I guess, a name star, better known from Peaky Blinders and the Mummy with Tom Cruise, but, you know, a good actor. But this is, you know, really kind of him going back to the horror genre after, you know, the success of Aquaman. And it's a very interesting film in that it does kind of bring together some old school kind of tributes to different genres in horror. But his style, and Simon mentioned new metal, and I have this sneaking suspicion that James Wan had a new metal phase, because sometimes his films...
Didn't we all?
True, I don't know, but, like, you know, just the soundtracks are really kind of... thuttering, like, rock, you know, at times, and that some of the action is always, and it goes across both his horror films and his action movies, like, the camera is spinning around, there's kind of, like, WCW action, you know, it's, I don't know, I just have this suspicion, and this film, I should explain, and the thing is, I can't explain too much of it, because there's lots of twists and turns, and half the fun in this movie is just going where the hell it takes you. But basically, this film opens in the 1990s, speaking of new metal, in a hospital on a dark and stormy night, and it's one of those hospitals that is, like, precariously on the edge of a cliff on a big dark hill. Yeah, and not good for parking. You're always kind of close to the water. But there's an unseen patient in a room going hell for leather, and orderlies are being thrown out. There's blood spraying everywhere. And a doctor, played by Australia's own Jacqueline McKenzie, comes in and is like, you know, soothes the situation and says, "We've got to cut the cancer out." And then cue Malignant, the title card, and this, like, blast of, like, rock over this kind of grisly medical footage. So this is, like, the opening, which kind of places you in this sort of, this, you know, dark in hospitals, flickering lights, this kind of, like, terrain. But we really focus on Madison Lake, played by Annabelle Wallace, who's a pregnant woman who comes home to a very big house in the suburbs with an absolute dropkick for her husband, who, and this is established in, like, 2 minutes of screen time, that he's, like, completely terrible.
The worst.
Yeah, he's watching mixed martial art fighting. He doesn't get up to help her. She's pregnant. Like, he's terrible. Anyway, he's also drinking. Something happens. He throws her against the wall. She blacks out. And then later on, he is kind of taken over by this weird, sinister, dark, shadowy figure. And we don't know what's going on. And then she wakes up. She discovers that her husband's dead, and that she's also lost the baby. There's some pretty serious stuff in this film, actually, but it's quite, you know, over the top as well. So... yeah, and then with her stepsister, she starts to investigate what's going on, and it might have ties to her past, it might have ties to this childhood friend, an invisible childhood friend called Gabriel. Anyway, so that's as much as I can say about this. The thing I will say about this film is that it's really over the top. It is very melodramatic. The acting is all over the shop. But, you know, a lot of people have praised this for the third act. But I was enjoying most of it because it is silly, but it's kind of like high production values. It's really, like, visual and over the top. So I was having fun, even though, you know, it was a little bit kind of whatever. But then, yeah, it kicks off really... as the film goes on and escalates into a very enjoyable and satisfying, I guess, just second half. Anyway, Simon's also seen this film, and I really like the way that you described it to me when you saw it, but I don't know if you'll repeat it.
Yes, well, basically I explained to Tristan how I felt the entire time I was watching the movie, which is, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Okay, it's still bad, but I like it now. And that's sort of when the third act kicks in. And it, look, this isn't a good film, and I think there's a lot wrong with it. It is a really weird kind of conflagration. It's very grim, as you outlined from that opening. It's very dark and maybe playing with a lot of themes that, you know, for the playful aesthetic of the final act, haven't meshed very well. It is a hard R18 film in Australia, and it is very violent. But the audacity of the final 15 minutes was such that I was like, well, I'm definitely enjoying watching this. I just wish I hadn't been so interminably bored up until this point. And I don't think it's scary. I don't think it's scary at all. It's just, it's one of those films where I can't really recommend it because it's so audacious, because it's not particularly entertaining or scary up until that point. It's more just like, if you want to see James Wan coming off two of the biggest movies ever made, just do something completely batshit bonkers, that's what you're getting with Malignant. And I do feel like I was sold a bit of a false bill of goods, because the poster art, the trailer does kind of sell it.
Creepy.
Very creepy. And it sells it as a sort of giallo film inspired by the films of Dario Argento and Mario Bava. But it's really not. It is very much in the James Wan wheelhouse, especially what I would claim is just an action finale.
I mean, it's kind of the poster and the marketing is very effective. And he has talked about in interviews that he's like inspired by giallo, which is very, you know, like a 70s Italian genre, but I think he's more thinking probably of Suspiria, the Argento film, which, you know, if you want to get deep with it, some people don't think is a giallo because it's supernatural, but that's conversations that probably most people don't care about. But like, but you know, there's a killer with leather gloves and a large implement, so I guess that's some giallo aspect, but really
and deep colors, you know, like really rich looking.
Some reds, some pink
gels. You're really digging. For something.
But I guess I completely grant Simon's point, but I still had fun watching it. I wasn't really bored. I was just having fun with it. It is kind of like a horror movie that's not. I think some people will be a bit turned off by it. It is kind of grisly, and some of those themes are a bit kind of disturbing for a film to just kind of take lightly. But I just had fun with how kind of, some of the acting from the supporting characters feels like you're watching a CW show. Not to disparage all CW shows, but you just feel like you're watching, like, not the best. Like, there's a reason why good actors can help elevate a material. When you see someone who's, like, probably the fifth choice, you think, this is, But look,
that's the meanest thing anyone said this morning.
I'm really sorry. That's terrible.
Yeah, look, you guys are savage this morning on this. No, I love it.
Look, I'm going to say I enjoyed this movie a lot, and I would recommend it as opposed to Simon. But it's still something that, you know, if you're a fan of horror, like, I think you should just investigate, because it is kind of silly and over the top, but it's kind of trashy and entertaining, and it is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum to what we talked about last week with the film Lamb, which I didn't see but Simon did see, where these kind of like arty horror that's not quite horror, and you're waiting for something to happen. Yeah. This is throwing things at you all the time. None of it makes sense or is particularly kind of like clever, but it's also just, I don't know. Look, so I think that's where me and Simon differ on it. But I don't know. Has it sold it to you? Is this the kind of film that you would see?
Look, as you know, a big horror fan. If it's not really horror, I might have to think twice about it. But yeah, I loved The Conjuring. I liked Insidious. I loved those kind of movies. So I might give it a go, but it's good to have this knowledge before I go in.
And I think if you like Insidious in particular, it's most similar to Insidious of all those films.
Yeah,
so
I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, so if you like the spectral, what was it called in Insidious? The spectral realm? Yes, you know, and that kind of element of James Wan's filmography, you'll probably enjoy Malignant.
Look, I'll give it a go. I do just love her.
And then message us and let us know what
I'll
you thought
you
about
know.
The end.
I'll let you know which side I'm on. Team Tristan or Team Simon. If you've seen the movie already, 0401 04 or 0592191, let us know whose team you're on. It's like Twilight or something in here. So spooky, love it.
Police, search warrant! I just press the button?
Press the red button.
Just press it.
I assume they're paying extra for this.
Yes.
This is a remarkable story.
Hello? Hello?
We're keeping it spooky this morning. I'm really excited to hear you guys' thoughts on the next film.
Yes, this is one you can watch at home via Shudder, the horror-centric streaming service.
I need that.
Yeah. If you're a fan of horror movies, they've got some really great films on there. And they debut a lot of films, including this one, which is a Shudder original. Mm. We're talking VHS 94, which is the fourth installment of the VHS franchise, found footage anthology saga that is very similar from film to film in its sort of framing device, the idea being that investigators, police, what have you, just general people, happen upon a location that seems to be recently abandoned, but there are sort of these staticky TVs and stacks of very nasty kind of freaky fetish VHS tapes. And one by one, they watch the tapes and either go mad or grow violent or something horrible happens as they watch these movies. But the sort of really appealing element of the VHS saga is that each individual entry is directed by a different filmmaker. So you get a lot of different flavors. And like any anthology series, you know, Creepshow, The ABCs of Death being a more recent one, there are hits and there are misses. But that's kind of what you pay for. You know, that's what you're in for when you watch these films. And it always reminds me of a quote from the Larry Sanders Show, where a TV executive goes up to Larry, who's a talk show host, at the end of a monologue, and he says, "Hey, some of your jokes didn't do as well as the other ones. So next time, maybe only do the jokes that get big laughs," right? The idea being, well, the whole point of an anthology movie is you're throwing a lot of ideas at the wall. Some of them will stick, some of them won't, and you're never really sure what you're going to get. But Terry, you're a fan of firstly horror movies, but yeah, the VHS series.
Oh my goodness, yes.
What do you like about the VHS series in particular?
Well, I just love found footage movies. I was actually thinking before, like, you guys are just masters of movies and that's amazing. And I'm like, I don't really have my thing. Like, I don't really, like, I guess like teen movies and stuff, love that, like love a chick flick. But I think found footage movies might be my thing. Like, yeah. I've watched all of them, because I went through a phase of just loving them.
And some are really great.
And some of them are horrible that it's so great.
What's like the top tier of a found footage film for you?
Oh, look, Paranormal Activity, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
There was Paranormal Entity, which was like that Spanish version. Yeah, watch that one, Quarantine. That was good.
Yes.
I could go on forever and ever. But VHS, I found, obviously, the peak, Blair Witch. Come on, that's where it all started.
That's the OG, I guess, yeah.
But yeah, no, I like the VHS series. I think, I'd never really caught on, because I watched it when I was quite young when it was coming out, but like in renting it from the DVD shop and stuff like that. But I think I'd never realised it was different directors. That's makes so much sense, and that's awesome.
And there's now a nice element to it where some of the filmmakers are carrying over from film to film, but there is a nice bit of turnover. And Tristan, I'll get your thoughts on the VHS franchise, certainly. But we've both seen this one. VHS 94, I think, is the strongest of the four movies.
Cool.
That doesn't mean they're all perfect, all the entries, but I think the first half of the movie certainly is just top-notch. The framing device here is there's this sort of SWAT team raid on a cult's compound. And
sounds right up my alley.
Great, and they go into the compound and they find, all these stacks of staticky TVs as per usual. And then there are members of the cult sort of sitting around the TVs, and they seem to have all pulled their own eyes out, which as a bar setter for someone about to watch those VHS tapes, it's a high bar, but I think it clears it with the first couple of entries. And I think the best one is Storm Drain from director Chloe Okuno, which is really in the sort of mold of an Adult Swim infomercial, like Too Many Cooks or anything else that they made that is sort of funny but very strange and freaky. And it involves a newscaster going into a storm drain to find what the locals are referring to as the Rat Man. So you can probably guess how that transpires, but it still has a very fun and bonkers ending. It's then followed by a short film from Simon Barrett, who directed Seance, which Tristan reviewed a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And this was really great as well. It's called The Empty Wake, and it's about a sort of new employee at a funeral home who's been charged with overseeing a wake by herself at night while there's a storm outside and no one turns up, but there are some noises coming from inside the casket. So that's really fun. Tristan, I'm keen to hear your thoughts on the whole thing, obviously, but the last two entries I thought were a little bit weaker. The Timo Tihanto's The Subject,
yes,
and he co-directed with Gareth Evans what I think is the best ever VHS entry, Safe Haven from VHS 2. But that one didn't really work for me. And then Ryan Prowse's Terror, which involves a sort of far-right militia group who wind up with a vampire in their captivity.
Oh, this is all my things. I love it.
Yeah, look, I'm not seeing any of the previous VHS entries, so I'd heard about them and heard, like, you know, great things and mixed things. And, you know, it's... But, like, this one I watched, and I really enjoyed it. And I actually liked all the stories. I mean, yeah, the first couple are probably the strongest of my favorites. But I did enjoy the third one, which is kind of like an over-the-top sci-fi. It almost becomes like a video game that you're watching where it just goes really over-the-top. And then the last one I did enjoy because it takes its time to really, like, reveal what's going on.
It's the most VHS-y home video of the lot. Yeah.
Yes. I really liked VHS 94, and I think part of it is that it is very, it's ghoulish, it's violent, it's grisly. There's some like nice old school special effects intermingled with some of the CGI stuff, but it's also got a sense of humor. Like there are just funny bits throughout the whole thing, and I did like the variety of the four stories that it kind of gave you something different with each one, but it still all worked together. The one thing I say, and this is not a spoiler, but I really enjoyed this film up until the last 5 minutes, which really blew, I thought. It just blew, but it also blew the narrative that Simon was describing of the SWAT team going in. So I feel that's not a spoiler. I just feel like people should be prepared, and maybe then they'll watch it and go, oh, that's not that bad. And I think, like, you know, I've lowered your expectations so much, but it just really was. I was just
brace yourself for the last five.
Yeah. Look, it's the irony of, like, it's probably the most consistently good of the VHS movies, but it has probably the worst framing device. VHS 2 has a great framing device, but it's more hit and miss. But I still think that movie is very good as well. They're all good. Just go and watch them all. Like, and the best part is, if you are really a stickler and like, don't waste my time with these bad anthology movies, go and hit us up on the Facebook page, on the Movie Squad Facebook page, and we'll tell you, like, just watch these entries.
Yes.
Like, if you really want to watch, like, a great horror movie over Halloween, watch the first two entries of VHS 94 and then go straight to Safe Haven from VHS 2. And that's an evening of pure full-on thrills and comedy. But nonetheless, you know, Terry, I think it'd be interesting when you watch it as well, because... As a horror fan, we all have different tastes, and again, these anthology movies are about throwing a different bunch of flavors and seeing if they taste good together. You may have a different favorite.
As an expert in this field.
You may prefer the fourth one, which is the most found footage-y. But I will say, last week, you know, not to talk about video games constantly, but I did mention how Squid Game and The Last of Us 2 had similar conclusions, and that was disappointing in Squid Game's case. If you're a fan of the Resident Evil games 7 and 8, Biohazard and Village, it's a very similar aesthetic across these films. So as a fan of those games, I was really excited because I was like, oh, it's like the game I love playing, just being made into a movie. So they're almost like great video game adaptations, and that's maybe just our mutated minds from playing first-person video games. But VHS 94, a lot of imagination, a lot of experimentation, and I can even respect that in the entries that I didn't like as much. But certainly... the first two entries are just cracking horror cinema. So worth it for that alone.
But I have to get Shudder. That's so annoying.
Look, like any streaming service, I'm sure they have a free trial period. And
I'll put a reminder in my phone to cancel it after the free trial. Yes.
But we should say Seance is also a Shudder original.
Cool.
Films we covered last year, like, or this year rather, like Violation and Scare Me, they're Shudder originals. So, you know, there's a lot of crap
on there. It sounds like I should maybe get rid of another streaming service for Shudder. It sounds right up my alley.
Just to say, some of these films eventually do like go wide release, so you could just get them on iTunes or whatever.
That's true.
You could just wait. And
but I don't.
Be
I'm impatient.
Yeah. And Halloween's next week. These are the calls we have to make as a society. Are you going to go see Malignant or potentially Halloween Kills in theaters, or are you going to commit to Shudder for the month of October?
Oh, it's spooky season, and I absolutely love it. Hey, speaking of found footage movies, I just thought of another one. Did you ever watch Megan Is Missing?
No.
That was horrible. Don't watch it. It's trash, but like it was a big thing in the Tumblr days. It was very spooky.
I've never
girl,
heard of
girl
that.
Goes missing and then they find the footage of it. Yeah, anyway, sorry, it just came to me.
So
I'm such an expert in this
you
field.
Are on that, so,
in the
yeah.
found footage world. You are listening to Movie Squad on RTRFM 92.1. You're with me, Terry, aka the found footage movie connoisseur. Who knew? I'm such an expert.
So there you have it, another great episode of Movie Squad and looking at two horror films, Malignant and VHS 94. And I'm hoping, you know, sometime in the future, maybe we'll get Terry Campbell in and she can take us through the top five fan footage films because, you know, I think there's still a bit for me to explore.
Clearly some we've not yet excavated if Megan Is Missing is an example. But thank you, Terry, so much. And thank you, Tristan, once again for a great bit of movie chat. Remember, you can rate and subscribe to the Movie Squad podcast wherever you get podcasts, I suppose. But also tell your friends, certainly in the lead up to Halloween, share the recommendations and let us know your thoughts on what we've reviewed.
And yeah, we look forward to hearing your suggestions, your thoughts about spooky movies and the Halloween movie season on the Movie Squad Facebook page, Movie Squad RTRFM. But yeah, you can find us on Spotify, podcasting apps, and please let people who don't know that we are now doing the weekly episodes on the podcast stream, please let them know and share the love.